Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Bruce Pierce with my next episode of my podcast entitled Women's Healthcare with Dr. Bruce Pierce. Today, my very special guest is a certified birth and postpartum doula, and she is in central New Jersey, and her practice is called Meaningful Beginnings. Please welcome Claudia Paris. Welcome, Claudia.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce.
You could call, actually, Dr. I like Dr. Bruce. You can stick with that. I can call you Claudia, is that
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely.
All right. So, Claudia, we're talking about doulas. Now, for those who don't know, what is a doula?
So doula is a Greek word that means basically a caregiver, a helper. It means that we are women who come alongside expecting moms and help them throughout the labor process to prepare better. And then we join them as they start their labor and stay throughout the whole time. So we don't leave their site. We don't work in shifts. We work until mom and baby are both happily settled. So we're there for the whole process.
So you are... Basically, you're there for women for their birth of their child and mm-hmm. I guess and also after postpartum, delivery.
Uh-huh. So postpartum doulas, they come in once mom and baby come home from the hospital or when they're needed if there is sleeping issues or feeding issues or, you know, just confidence in knowing how to take care of a baby.
Great. So preparation for our meeting, I read... The definition I read of doula was servant to mm-hmm. women.
Yes.
Now, so based on that, I think actually I am a doula as well.
I agree. And you know what? Whoever is the partner, whoever helps the mom, whoever is involved in her labor and in the whole process is a doula, is a helper, a server.
So Claudia, so I am, let's pretend, of course, I am a woman who is either pregnant or wants to become pregnant, mm-hmm. why should I be looking for a doula? What's the advantage of that?
So the advantage of doulas is manifold, really. One of them is physically that, let's start with the clinical part. There is a less likelihood of cesareans, a bigger likelihood that you go into labor naturally, that you don't need that many interventions, that even the stay in the hospital will be a more positive one, that babies need less time in the NICU. So all kinds of clinical issues that have been proven to be helped by doulas.
So I'm searching out a doula because, yes, I want those things. I don't want an unnecessary cesarean. I don't want a lot of intervention, but I'm concerned because I do want pain medicine and I do mm-hmm. want an epidural. So then should I then not get a doula because of that?
So no, I would say it would still be very good for you to get a doula. As doulas, we don't necessarily tell you whether you should get pain medications or not. Our idea really is that we help you throughout the whole process. So as doulas, we look not just at the physical side, but also at the emotional side. So even with an epidural, moms get anxious, moms need physical support. It's a good idea to change positions every half an hour. And so it's a very good idea to still have a doula for the emotional side, the physical side, and even the clinical side, because when you address the emotional side, it helps progress labor.
So I was about to say, well, isn't that what a husband is for? Now I say husband. Isn't that what a partner is for?
Yes,
and then and then after you said that, I laughed because, you know, I was not good for certainly any emotional support from my wife when she had our children. So, but I guess I'm right? I'm not the only one. That's very common.
It's a very good question. You know, some dads are worried that the doula would take over his place. I see my role as a doula more as a facilitator. So the more dad wants to get involved, the more I will help him know what is appropriate, what mom needs at a certain time, and give him the skills that he needs to help her even better.
So you're not going to nudge him out of the way as he tries to help, like help and cut the cord, and you're not going to like elbow him and get him out of the way?
Not at all. Actually, generally, I try to have a supportive role of the father as well, because I know once I leave, dad is going to take over. So I see myself more as supporting dad in allowing him to get rest, not being as anxious, knowing how to help his mom in physical ways, in emotional ways. And, you know, I've taken the side role and just let dad get on with it and just given him ideas. I've also totally taken over when dad cannot cope with blood or doesn't cope with seeing his wife in pain, or, you know, starts freaking out when things get complicated. So I think we are there to be there when we are needed and to step back as we are not needed.
And you bring up a good point, because as you were saying that, and now for everybody who knows or doesn't know out there, I am a OBGYN physician, so I have done many, many thousands of deliveries, so I've certainly seen a lot of the dynamic between a couple during the delivery, and you are so right. I can't tell you how many times we'll say for this majority is the dads. The dads sometimes decompensate, and as a father and husband, I am aware of there's one thing: when your wife is in pain, it raises your blood pressure, and your innate response is to fix it. And sometimes that's helpful, but sometimes that's not helpful, and it goes against what you're working for.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really, the idea is that you allow mom to go into her natural instincts, and by doing that, by being relaxed and by listening to what her body needs to, enable labor to progress. So the husband's role sometimes could stress a mom out more. If the husband is stressed, you see it even in the eye contact. So having a third person there who has more experience, who can tell you this is actually normal, don't worry, we see this all the time, can be really helpful for dad and for mom. And it can help them in their relationship to stay positive rather than, like you say, get frustrated with each other or just bring in some negative emotions that can store labor.
Now, do you have, so I know a lot of my pregnant patients during labor have their mother or mother-in-law there as well. Now, does the more people that's in there make the dynamic any different or more difficult? Do you find it harder or easier when there's, I guess, more help?
That's a very good question. I think it totally depends on the person and on the relationship between mother, the expecting mom, and the mother of that mom. It also depends sometimes how they interact as a threesome. But generally, as a doula, what we try is to get everybody involved. So what I will do is try and involve mother or mother-in-law as much as I can and, you know, give her opportunities to be really helpful and to feel really part of it.
Right. So I think as I am now, I'm jumping into everybody's role that I typically see in a delivery room. So because, the pregnant woman's mother, it usually plays an important role. Of course, every family is different. And I think they would actually be concerned, let's say if their daughter hires a doula, wait a minute, what about me? I thought I was going to be the third person. Now I'm the fourth person. Do you get a lot of pushback from the grandmoms to be?
Actually, I would say no. I think in general, most grandmas are really grateful because we are more up to date on how things are being done these days. It's also we have more experience. Grandmas have maybe had 2-3 babies, maybe more, but it's a long time ago. So our experience is very different from their experience. And generally, grandmas are just extremely thankful.
That's a very important point, because obstetrics in the past, let's say 25 to 35 to even 40 plus years now, we're talking with how old our patients are, has changed dramatically. And what happened in your mother's or grandmother's day is no longer applies, or it's completely different for, honestly, maybe sometimes good, sometimes bad. So I'm sure you see a lot of that. So, okay, now I'm jumping around to my role. I'm the physician, or let's say I'm a midwife. How do you interact with the provider, let's call it?
So our interactions with providers are respectful. Personally, I can say that I never wanted to be a midwife or an OBGYN. So I highly respect their role and I highly respect your understanding. We are not medically trained and we are not meant to do anything medically. So I don't ever try and take over that part. I see myself more as that we come from different angles and we complement each other. Well, that's the word I was looking for, is complementation. We really complement, trying to give that mom everything that she needs physically, emotionally, mentally, to give her a healthy and great birth experience.
Did you ever like have it out with a doctor? Did you ever like get in an argument, like, no, my client does not want that, et cetera, and like maybe pick up an argument, et cetera?
No, not at all, because I don't see that is my role. My role is to facilitate and help the parents, the mother-to-be, to ask good questions and to get a good discussion going. I would see it more that my role is to help her know what questions to ask. And to help throughout the whole process already, to not let it come that far, you know.
So tell me about your training. So how do you? So you say you're not a physician. You're not medically trained. How do you know all the nuances of modern day obstetrics, et cetera, et cetera?
So I'm trained through Donor International. That's the oldest and biggest doula organization.
So that's spelled D-O-N-A.
Yes.
It's pronounced Donor. Go ahead.
Donor.
Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. And
not
so
donor, but donor.
No, donor.
Donor. Not donut. But donut. Okay.
Not yes. Donut either.
Okay.
No.
Good. Yes.
They're for afterwards.
So how do they train you, or how do they certify?
So we have several courses that we have to take on childbirth, on child development, on if you do postpartum, you need to take postpartum courses, breastfeeding courses. We have to read at least 10 books that are on the different subjects. They cover childbirth and breastfeeding and child development. And we have to be the main doula for 3 births. And if we get good referrals from the provider and other people that were there, the parents, then we can get certified that way.
Great. Okay, so you get trained, you get certified. How do you get your clients? Do you is it word of mouth? How do you tend to?
So getting clients works in several ways. One of them obviously is word of mouth, and that's probably one of the best. The other one is through providers who have worked with us and have seen who we are as a person, and they refer us to their clients. Another one would be through doulamatch.net, where you can look for a doula that is in your area and that looks like might be good for you. You can go to donor.org, you can go to kappa.net. So there's various ways out there. You can Google search for a doula in your area. There's many ways of finding a doula.
So, okay, let's say I do that, I found you, and I want you to be my birth doula and postpartum doula. So we do everything. So when do we, okay, I assume we have a meeting and et cetera, et cetera, and sign whatever paperwork is involved, et cetera, et cetera. So then when do I call you? Do I wait till I'm in labor? When am I supposed to call you?
So actually what I try and do with my clients is that as soon as they see any signs of things changing, say, for example, they lose their mucus plug, they start with a little bit of bleeding, they get more bowel movements in a day, little signs of early labor, pre-labor, those are the ones that we look out for, and we are already in touch from then on. So generally, even before then, when I know it's getting closer to the due date, I check in with my clients regularly in the week beforehand, especially on a daily basis, just, hey, how are you doing? Even emotionally, trying to keep her calm and happy and, you know, really planning together.
Now, do you meet them? Let's say they're in labor. Or they think they're in labor. Do they call you? Do you meet them at their house? Do you meet them at the hospital? Or does it depend?
So it totally depends on how labor starts and how labor develops. Generally, what we do first is that we have a phone conversation. Once there are some contractions, I talk them through some contractions and see how they cope. And that's really how I gauge it. I'm a counselor as well in my background, so for me, the emotions are very important. If a mom is very anxious, I will join her fairly early on. If a mom is fairly calm and can cope on her own, then we just keep in touch over phone, and with time we decide when it's a good idea for me to join them. So I do join them at home.
Oh, you do? So it's home first?
Home first, right. Unless it's a fast birth, right, or there's some complications, and then we meet at the hospital.
Right. I assume during this time, the, I guess, patient is in contact with their provider as well for guidance. So let's say, okay, you meet we're in early labor only, and it sounds like your philosophy would be to stay as home as long as possible, as long as there's no complications. Is that correct? I don't want to put words
in there. I would say it really depends on the person. If a mom gets nervous and wants to hear the baby's heartbeat, wants to be assured, we can't do anything physically. So if a mom gets more anxious, or even a dad, I've had dads getting more anxious, it's okay, we just go to the hospital. We want to be safe. Safety is my first priority.
Great. That's great to hear. I'm sure the patients like to hear that too.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I'm going in, for instance. So you met me at home, and we labored a little bit at home, and now we're ready to go to the hospital. And so you accompany the couple or whoever's in, you know, who are going to be their birth partners, accompaniment, family, etc. So you go there, and then I guess, and you stay. Now you stay there the entire time.
I stay the entire time, no matter how long labor is.
What if it's like a 2 to 3 day labor?
I have stayed that long. Yes.
Really.
Sometimes, if it's an induction and it's fairly obvious that there are no signs, I live very close, especially to the Princeton Hospital. I'm 5 minutes away. I might go home for a few hours sleep, just because if I'm rested more, I can help them better. As long as mom and dad are emotionally okay about it.
So you mentioned earlier in the broadcast about lowered cesarean rates, now is there data to support that, or is this just your personal experience?
No, there is data to support that, and one good website that you could go on to look at data is evidencebasedbirth.com. That gives you a lot of data that has been researched and written up in ways that is good for parents to read. A lot of providers and doulas refer to that website, and that's how we also stay up to date with what's the newest and what's going on.
And I will tell you, from the obstetrician end, there's actually our governing body called ACOG, which is the American College of OBGYNs, also recommends doulas for their patients.
Yeah.
So that's and from doctors, that's pretty good.
Yes, we're very happy about that.
So, and okay, the bottom line, this is what I want to know. I'm the husband. How much does this cost typically?
So,
unless you do it for free. I guess you have to earn a living.
We have to earn a living, but we also, especially with Donna, our saying is that every mom who wants a doula should have a doula. So we are very prepared if parents can't afford it to help them. A lot of doulas have a sliding scale. Some doulas will do some births for free. I've done births for free. If there is a financial need, my goal is really to help and facilitate doula services. What the average cost of a doula, there's a wide range of it. So I would say interview with different ones. It really depends on what you're looking for is more the person. The years of experience, because we are not medically trained, in some ways don't matter as much as who is that person. How do they come across? Do you click with them? Is there a natural link with them? Because what you're looking for is somebody who is warm, who is caring, who you feel like you can really open up to and share your anxieties with, share your concerns with, who you feel you can call them in the middle of the night when you need help, and who also at the hospital, if things don't quite go the way you want them to, that you feel free to really talk it through and find emotional support and help from them.
Now, from what I know, and tell me if this is true, that the United States, I guess, is kind of, with a lot of things, far kind of behind maybe the rest of the world. And doulas are throughout Europe and other countries, mm-hmm. and it's a very common thing. Whereas here, it's actually, I guess we'd call it a new thing, but it shouldn't be, but...
I would say on the West Coast, it's more established than over here on the East Coast. In general, in Europe, I think it is more common, depending on the countries. But if you think back, hundreds of years ago, when everybody still lived in a big community, there would have always been one or several women in a village or in a town who would have gone to every birth and helped that mom through her labor. So I think that's where the idea comes from. Unfortunately, we all live a very individualistic life these days, and that's where the idea of a doula comes in very handy, because we are trying to be that person and to be to mother the mother when, mother lives far away or mother has passed away, or there might not be the relationship you would want in that room, in that birthing room with you when things get a little bit hairy.
And now also postpartum. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you're a postpartum doula as well. So, from my own knowledge, and I don't know if everybody is aware, in the United States we're having an issue with maternal mortality. Mm-hmm. And the data shows a lot of that mortality is, meaning moms dying either during childbirth or after, a large, and you may even say the possible majority of deaths are after birth. So how does a doula maybe can intervene somehow in that type of scenario?
So I think some of it with postpartum doulas is that we are there, we get a sense of how mom is doing, we know about preeclampsia, we know about hemorrhaging, we know a lot of moms when they're home, they're concerned about the blood clots, they're concerned about different issues, because not many moms really know what to expect, what happens after having had a baby. It's not just you have the baby and your body is back to normal. It takes about 6 weeks. So during that time, we can keep an eye on mom as well for postpartum depression, for example. Mm-hmm. We can let them know how they're doing and really encourage them and help them find their confidence and spot issues early on that might have been overlooked, say with preeclampsia. If mom has got headaches, you would think, I've just had a baby, I'm exhausted, it's probably normal to have a headache, but there's little signs that could be overlooked that you aren't necessarily aware of because you're so focused on the baby.
Right, and I think that's where to have just another set of eyes, and ears, mm-hmm. and somebody who knows normal versus not normal, just to say, hey, this is something that has to be addressed. And I think that's mm-hmm. where you see that major benefit postpartum. Also, you know, I think sometimes the moms just need a little bit of help.
Yes, for sure.
Again, jumping in the dad's seat, we're not much help. Well, there's no real paternity leave in most places. And so the dads are back to work almost as soon as the baby's
way
born.
Way too fast.
Way too fast for both both parents in the United States. So it's great to have another person there just to sometimes, like you said, keep the sanity, keep...
even just knowing what to do with a baby.
Right.
You know, 2 or 3 days in hospital don't necessarily give you confidence enough to know how to handle a baby and help the baby survive at home.
And from what I know, the babies do not come with a owner's manual. Is that correct?
I wish they did.
I've never delivered an owner's manual. So it's great. All right, Claudia. Thank you very much for joining me today.
You're most welcome.
And tell me your company is name again is
Meaningful Beginnings.
Meaningful Beginnings with Claudia Paris, here in Central New Jersey. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.